This is truly a family gathering. And I'm delighted to welcome you and see an awful lot of old friends. And I want to thank each one of you from the bottom of my heart for all that you've done and are doing. Renew the American dream for every American. I'm grateful for your loyalty and your hard work and your commitment. And I know you've just heard from Don Regan, so it's a good time to set the record straight about Don's determination to run a tight ship in the West Wing. I'm here to tell you that you can forget what you may have read, because it's not true that we're being organized into squads and platoons. However, I do find it a little unusual that the Marine Corps him has piped into the Oval Office now 3 times a day. Maybe that the only naps I'll get will be in the cabinet meetings. But I hope that you'll all remember that we're not here to hold a job, but to do a job. And as any coach knows, it's not the season that just ended that counts, but the season that's about to begin. We began our next season just 6 weeks ago, and believe me, it's not going to be any easier than the season that just ended. We've had some great victories, but in the weeks and months to come, some people will do all they can to place new roadblocks in our way. We need to keep a realistic perspective, one that begins with the understanding that we haven't been sponsored by a special interest. Our only sponsor is the American people. You know it, I know it, and that's why we can knock those roadblocks down and rebuild the greatest economic expansion that America has ever known. And I probably, if you don't already know it, Don, or didn't already know it, Don might have told you already, but just in case somebody here hasn't heard the economic indicators this morning were the strongest that they've been since June of 1983. So the expansion and the growth continues. The deficit problem results from too many years of government spending beyond its means and our economy growing below its potential. And the people didn't elect us to forget the lessons of the past and return to higher taxes and bigger government and soaring inflation and runaway federal spending. They elected us to keep America moving forward and to keep those failed policies out of their lives forever. The people understand that unlimited opportunity begins with incentives for a growing economy without inflation. And the critics who have a stake in higher taxes, I don't want to understand that. But last November, I think the American people spoke to the critics. And it's up to us to meet the issues head on and finish the job. To fundamentally reform and simplify our tax system so we can bring personal tax rates further down. To reduce further the growth of government and its interference in our lives, and by doing these things to make America stronger and keep deficits on a downward path. And when it comes to our national security, the American people haven't asked us to hold a fire sale on our well-being, or to break faith with those fighting for freedom and democracy, or to ignore the realities of the world that we live in. And we're poised to move forward with a strategy that nourishes and defends freedom and democracy. Nowhere is this more true than here in our own hemisphere. We cannot and will not turn our backs on the Nicaraguan freedom fighters in spite of one of the most sophisticated lobbying efforts that has ever been made that is going on in the Congress right now. Let's not forget that their fight for freedom has very important consequences for our own future. The struggle now going on is between freedom and servitude, between human dignity and state oppression, and between a prosperous, growing hemisphere and one racked with revolution and chaos bringing danger to our own borders. We can be proud also that we're moving forward to strengthen our social institutions, the bedrock of our society and freedom. Here, too, much remains to be done, and we can't rest until everyone who wants a job has one, until all our neighborhoods are safe, until all our schools truly teach, until America's second revolution of hope and opportunity touches every American. I know that in the days ahead, there'll be times when you ask yourself if it's really worth all the trouble, that question's likely to pop up while you're sitting at your desk holding a stale cup of coffee along about 8 o'clock in the evening with the deadlines crashing around you. But then something will happen to perk you up and to make your doubts disappear. I know. Let me read you a few lines of a letter I received from a mother who lives in Toms River, New Jersey. "You have made it easier for us financially to be able to raise our family, and you've helped a mother show three boys that there are still such things as morals and principles." And Janice closed her letter with these words: "You've made all of us proud of America again, and I'm glad I had the privilege of voting for you. And oh, by the way, I'm a registered Democrat." Well, this letter should have been addressed to all of you, if that's really what she was voting for. Your hard work and your dedication made the difference. And I think all Americans, all of you, a debt of gratitude on their behalf. Nancy and I, thank you. God bless you all.
Said, "Hitch your wagon to a star." Well, I think that's one thing that all of us can say that we've done. The president has given us one of the toughest assignments that any administration has ever received. And I think in the first 4 years, we've done a pretty darn good job following it. You know, from a taxpayer, from a member of the administration, from just a normal citizen, it is wonderful to have the president in the White House for a change that goes outside of Highway 495, does not tell the people of this country there's a light at the end of the tunnel, and then come back to Washington to order more tunnel. You know, that is something that you can proudly say that we as an administration are not doing. We're also going out and say that there's light at the end of the tunnel, and ask the people to get into it, and there is a light. It's a train station, or a train coming over the top of it. That has not happened, as the latest indicators already show. This recovery is continuing, and it didn't just happen. I've been asked to describe to you some of the results, some of the plans of the budget and the management programs, and also some of the state of relations between the White House, OMB, and the agencies. Now, I guess I've been asked to do this because I spent 9 years in the agencies before I came into OMB. I'm looked upon by some, in case a little bit too many times, as the agency liaison. I appreciate the calls and letters. And then also, as kind of the overseer of the management improvement program. On the light side, I was thinking about describing our relations between OMB and the agencies as A, non-existent, two ships passing in the night, B, kind of like curdled milk, you know, a little bit sour, C, productive and rewarding, the way I see it, a continual high, or all of the above. I think the working relationship during the first 4 years has been very good. It depends a lot on the attitude of the agencies and the attitude of OMB, and that varies. But for the most part, it's been very good. And it's been very good because of all of the organization that we've got in place to work together. Whether or not you want to talk about the cabinet councils, you want to talk about the budget process, our regulatory review process, our management review process that we went through the first time this year as part of the budget review board, and I can keep on going on. And you've got to say that during the 4 years, it sure has been tested. It's been tested for one reason. Because our president came in with a large and a tough agenda. And he laid it out very clearly, and it was voted on twice. What he did was he made each and every one of us change agents, not keepers of the status quo. Again, you have to remember, it is much tougher to operate under that first charge as a change agent. And what we've accomplished as managers, as Don Regan mentioned, in the first 4 years has been impressive. I'm not going to give you the speaking points because you're all out on the stump all the time saying this over and over again supporting this administration, but think of it. When we came in, the budget was growing totally out of control at 17.5% a year. Now, I don't know how many of your companies or your law firms or whatever your agencies were or offices were growing their cost base at 17.5% a year. I know at Citicorp, where I came from, ours was basically frozen, our cost base, for about 5-6 years. As a result, 3 or 4 years later, it became the largest bank holding company in the world. As a matter of fact, it became that the day I left. So I take credit for that. Our programmatic spending has gone down every single year since we came in, and it will be zero increase next year if we get our proposals through. We have proposed taking out $500 billion out of the budget over the next 5 years. $500 billion off the deficit. Right? That is without raising taxes. It's a tough one. It is a pragmatic budget that holds together by going after many of the constituencies who have said they have been in our backyard. It goes after 15 to 20 major reforms. It goes after 25 to 26 actual terminations. There's a 10% administrative board cut across the board in the civilian agencies. There's a 5% pay cut. There's a 10% reduction in the legislative administrative costs. This has been a tough one. And at OMB, we look up, we see people. Don, when you're getting up there and you've been supporting this, you have made this your budget fight. Bill Draper was talking to me before, and he sat there and he said, Joe, I think we're going to get that $3.8 billion out. This is not echoes of OMB. Department of Labor, Ford, you guys have gone up there and you've been fighting the battle. You've made it your battle, which is exactly the way it should be done, and that is the only way we're going to get it done. Now, some of the other things we've done have also been pretty impressive. When we came in, we had a literally out-of-control credit situation. The federal government just handed out dollars. They never had to collect it. That wasn't our job, right? And when we first looked at it, we had delinquencies that were going up at 35 to 40% a year. You could not continue in business that way. That is way down right now. Not only have we moved from direct lending to guarantees, and that just hasn't happened, we fought that battle every single mile of the way. But we've also decided to propose putting on user fees, because if you are going to use the government as a lender of last resort, then it should have a value. So let's charge it. If you're using a treasury line, it should have a value. Let's charge it. The IRS has made one of the most outstanding upgrades of their whole automated collection system you've ever seen. Use it. Other agencies should come in and be knocking down the door for that. We are now going, and every single loan, loan guarantee, contract, procurement, or grant must go through a private sector credit screen. Did you know that? It's only about 3 or 4 months old. And anybody who is a deadbeat to the federal government now gets reported back to the private sector. We've made enormous progress on this. Remember, we've got $300 billion in outstanding debt. And the taxpayers are looking upon us to manage it, not just to hand out more. I can honestly say for the first time, Uncle Sam is not looked upon as Uncle Patsy. And it's been done a short period of time. Secretary Regan oversaw one of the largest cash management systems ever put into the federal government, $1 trillion cash management system. It's in place. We are putting in the financial accounting systems for the first time. They've been screamed about in this town for the last 20 years. We've got 332 primary incompatible financial accounting systems. That is not the way you run a business. It's going down to 16 compatible. Personal payroll systems are going from 150 down to 18. Who else paid attention to this until we got here for the first time? The regulations and red tape that we've been fighting for has been halted. The number of federal rules that you all are coming out with has been reduced by one-third since we came in. That is not a small reduction. When you think the fact that this town has an overwhelming appetite to add, not subtract. The calculator within Washington, D.C. has not had the minus button on it before we got here. The Federal Register has gone down. Every single year, it is now over 40% shorter than when we came in. We cut off 300 million hours in paperwork. And we're continuing to do so. Overall, the management improvement programs, your responsibilities, my responsibility, to manage this government better that Don Regan mentioned, are underway. They are going to fundamentally change the way this federal government operates. The Grace Commission, about $55 billion of its recommendations are in this fiscal 86 report. The President's Council on Integrity and Efficiency, the IGs, have come up with $46 billion in improved use of funds in over 3.5 years. Reform 88 is the largest management improvement program ever undertaken anywhere. It has now been expanded to field delivery systems. It has now been expanded to reducing those horrendous error rates in the transfer entitlement programs, which gets into state and local relations. It is now getting into a lot of political hotbeds. But it's the right thing to do. It will not be implemented by the White House or OMB. It will be implemented by the people that are sitting in this room. Just exactly as when you're fighting the budget, you've got to go and upgrade the way you manage your departments and take advantage of the processes that we've got in place. Now, as you all know better than I do, this is not easily accomplished, particularly when we start getting out in the field, and particularly when you start closing down offices, and particularly when you start reducing error rates, and particularly when you go and you start reducing people in locations. They are voters. But the key thing that agency after agency has come up to us, they said, OMB, don't leave us alone out there. Don't let us fight our own battles. We are not. We're all together in this one. Where we have succeeded on the budget issues, on the policy issues, on the management issues is where we've hung together as a team. And where we failed, the same is probably true. So in the years ahead, we absolutely must continue to be change agents. And think of that word seriously. But now what we've got to do is we've got to take these ideas that we've already established and we have to implement them and make them part of the management bureaucratic fiber of your agencies. We've done that pretty much at OMB, but just think about it. When you leave your office, will the changes you made stay in place? Will you have made that a part of the normal, everyday mode of operation that the career civil servants will pick up and continue? If you do not, then you will in part not have succeeded in making the real change that we're asked to do. So our policy changes, our budget changes, our management changes are all going to be resisted because they're tough, but they're long overdue. They have been clearly laid out in the State of the Union address and in the budget documents, which include the first management report ever sent up by the President to the Congress as part of the budget. It also asks for legislation to get the Congress off of your backs and let you manage your agencies. Because you all know that they ask us to make improvements, and then they put riders and appropriation bills that basically prohibit us from doing what they've asked, being able to reduce costs and being able to reduce the deficit. Look at that. There is a legislative package that will give you the flexibility, and we're going to be up there fighting it, and we have to all be up there fighting it to finally give us the responsibility to be able to do it. Read these. Become familiar with them. They are really the blueprint of our management improvement program over the next 4 years. So let's implement the changes. Make them part of the structure. Let's come into the cabinet council process. Let's fight out the fine-tuning, whatever it may be, and then let's go out together. Because in 4 years then, what we're going to be able to do is look back on this and say that we served President Reagan very well.